This morning's scripture reading will come from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. 1 Kings, chapter 4, verses 29 through 34. And the Bible reads, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom." I have read for you 1 Kings chapter 4, 29 through 34. May God add a blessing to the hearer and especially the doer of his words.
So grateful to be here on this morning. Grateful that all of us are here to study what God's word has to say. We're thankful for you who are visiting with us. Want to let you know that you are indeed our honored guests. We're glad for you to be here. Hope, pray, and trust that things are going well in your life, that you are walking according to the Spirit's teaching, and that you are faithful to Almighty God. If perhaps you're struggling in your walk with the Lord, we hope, pray, and trust that you'll have the courage to make those things right, that in the end you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful for a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." That is the goal of this life. The goal of this life is to live with God here and to live with God in the hereafter. And so that's our goal in this life. For the last 2 weeks, we have been talking about the judgment of Christ. We're going to take a break from that particular vein, and next week we're going to be talking about hell, a motivation. And it is a motivation. Hell is a good motivation, and the term is designed to be a motivation. But today I want us to talk about life tips from the book of Proverbs. When we think about Solomon, you remember King David had died and he had told his son Solomon to be strong and of good courage. He told him to be a man, to quit ye like a man. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 3 that Solomon loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. We know that God loved him because God even told David that he loved Solomon when Solomon was born. He loved him. Yet we understand that after the death of David, Solomon became king, the second king of the United Kingdom. It is through Solomon that we see that great wisdom was requested. God had asked Solomon, "What do you desire? What do you want?" We notice that in 1 Kings chapter 3, you'll go and you read that on your own time, that Solomon asked God for wisdom. If I can sum it up in one word, Brother Williamson, skill. He wanted skill. He wanted skill in living. He wanted to be able to lead God's people, to be able to discern the good from the bad. And that's exactly what God gave him. As a matter of fact, in 1 Kings 3 in verse 10, the Bible there teaches us that the saying pleased the Lord. Can you imagine that the speech of Solomon pleased God. And can you imagine things that we say that could please the Lord? We go further on in this great pericope, if you will, this great section of scripture. And God had definitely given Solomon the desire of his heart. He wanted to be able to lead the people of God. He wanted to be able to discern good from evil. We think about the purpose of the word of God, at least one of them, Hebrews 5 and verse number 12. The word of God helps us to do that, to be able to discern good from evil. But you go into chapter 4 and we notice that Solomon himself, being a king over Israel, well, there was a queen that heard about him, Queen Sheba. We know that she is true because Jesus brings her up in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 42 and 43 as it relates to how she came from afar to hear the wisdom of Solomon. She wanted to hear his words. As a matter of fact, in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 2 and 3, she came and she asked him hard questions, if you will. You think about that and the wisdom that he had, and she came and she asked him some very hard questions. She wanted to know the things that was in his head, in his mind. And the Bible teaches us that he answered her questions. You know, the more I thought about that, Brother Rick, the more I thought about how I'm not a Solomon. You know, you can ask me a question. If it's too hard, I'm going to have to tell you, let me get back to you. And I might have to go and ask a couple of brothers after I have done my study, hey, this is my conclusion. What is yours? That was not Solomon's case. Solomon was a wise man, but it's interesting that Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, that one who is greater than Solomon is here. One that is wiser than Solomon is here. I said all of that to say, when you look at 1 Kings chapter 4 in the reading of our scripture, and I appreciate our dear brother reading those passages in a very authoritative and respectful way. But I wanted to bring out verse number 32. In 1 Kings chapter 4 in verse 32, here the Bible teaches us, remember, Solomon, a very wise man, he received his wisdom from the Lord. God gave him the wisdom that he had. And the Bible says, and he spake 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. When I was crafting this lesson, I was thinking about, let me just go straight into the proverbs. But I wanted to give a little background of how did we get there? How do we get to a point where this man here could give tips for living? There are many, especially when I was a kid, I remember television shows like Sally Jesse Raphael. Y'all remember that? And I remember Oprah. She's still on, I think. I don't know. I remember Geraldo. I remember those TV shows that people would go on and they would ask questions about life. Donahue. Y'all remember people like that? And I remember when in the paper they would ask Ann, whatever she was, and she would, in the next column or the next week, she would answer the question. People would go to them and get their answers for life, tips for living. Yet the Bible is screaming, read me. I have the tips. Read me. I want us to look at some things concerning this great book. Because when we consider wisdom, I want us to turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1, when we think of Proverbs, I want us to think about concise statements, concise ethical statements, pithy statements, statements that include great skill, shrewdness, prudence, wit, wisdom. No wonder Solomon would tell his son, trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. No wonder James would say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, just think about these things as it relates to your life, what you've been studying, the direction that you're going in, the direction that God desires for us to go in. Proverbs 1 in verse number 23, we notice that Solomon gave wisdom to his son. But notice how Solomon says what he says. He says, "Turn at my correction, my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you." Now, notice how Solomon, by inspiration, tells his son how he is going to pour out his spirit, pour out his attitude, pour out his mind upon his son. "I will make my words known to you." I'm reminded of what the Holy Spirit through Peter said, and really through Joel in Joel 2 verses 28 through 31. That's not part of my lesson, but I just want to kind of bring this out. In Acts 2 and verse number 18, we understand that the Holy Spirit was going to be falling upon. He was going to be pouring out his spirit. And then he says in the very same verse that the young men will prophesy. It's interesting. The pouring out of the Spirit indeed was going to be that which was miraculous, but it was going to be bringing forth words. Words. We live in a time today that people want hocus pocus. They want something magical. They want the Holy Spirit to hit them in the head and tell them what to do. You'll be waiting a long time. The only way that God is going to speak to us is through His Holy Writ, His Holy Word. Here we see Solomon, and he's wanting or designed to give his son wisdom. He says, "I'm going to pour out my spirit upon you." Why? Because I want you to know. I want you to learn. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I love this verse. As a matter of fact, the more that I think about this verse, it encourages me as a man. And the reason why is because here Paul is talking to the church at Thessalonica. And as he is sharing some things with the church at Thessalonica, he just didn't share the gospel. And friends, this is a good evangelism tip for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, start at verse number 7. He says, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives." Why, Paul? Because you had become dear to us. You think about why God has given us His word, given us wisdom, given us understanding, because we're dear to Him. Why did Paul share the gospel with the Thessalonian people? Number one, he wanted them to be saved. Number two, he wanted to pour out his own soul, his life. He wanted to share his experiences. Friends, shouldn't we do that too? But that requires us to be vulnerable. And you know, I've been thinking about this for about 15 years, and the most vulnerable individual you'll ever come across will not be your spouse, it'll be your God. He is so vulnerable. What do we mean by that? You know, God is one that you can transgress against and ask Him to forgive you if you repent, and He will be faithful and just to forgive you. And then tomorrow, let's say you do something else and you ask God to forgive you, and He'll forgive you. And let's say you go a week or two without messing up, and then you mess up again and you ask God to forgive you. You know, God is vulnerable. We're not like that often. Here, God shares Himself with us. Here, Solomon shares these things with his son. He says, "I pour out my spirit on you." Why is that important? Because God desires for us to do the same thing. To share our thoughts and our minds with our children. To share our thoughts and our minds with the world. Why? Because they ought to hear the gospel. They ought to hear the gospel. Look at Proverbs 3. In Proverbs 3, verse 7 and 8, here we find another tip. Another tip for living. "Consider God's word." Notice what he says here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Reverence, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Why? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now think about this. Consider your life. Consider how free you are. Depart from evil. One of the hardest things to do as a people is to maintain holiness. Friends, be holy because God is holy is still in the scriptures. 1 Peter 1:15. How do we apply that? How do we apply not being wise in our own eyes? Friends, we go to the Word of God. We trust in what God's Word has to say, and we don't doubt not one word of it. And the reason why is because it has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness, how to be the best husband I can be, the best preacher I can be, the best elder I can be, the best co-worker I can be, the best employer, the best employee I can be. Why? Because God desires for my life to be a showcase that He can get glorified. Friends, the cross, even though it was horrific, people still have to look to it. And friends, we glory in the cross. We glory in the cross. But look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19. And notice the correlations that we're making from the Old Testament to the New Testament. From the book of Solomon or the book of Proverbs to the New Testament. Notice 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 19. I'm going to pull this passage out of its context for a principle. Notice, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Amen to that. The more I've been thinking about this, the more I've been thinking, it is a blessing to know that God knows who I am. And when I am baptized into Christ and I become a member of the Lord's church, I have all of my sins washed away. Don't you know God is not going to lose me? He's not going to lose us. As a matter of fact, no one can pluck us out of His hands. If anything, we walk away from God. Notice the end of this passage. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, that's the same thing as fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord. Remember 1 Kings 3 and verse number 3? Solomon loved the Lord. Yes, Solomon had his issues. He had his problems, just like we do. But friends, we have to keep in mind that God desires for us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, Matthew 22, verses 33 and following, 38 and following. Look at Proverbs 4. In Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 9, we come across another tip, the third tip. And this is obtaining wisdom and understanding its benefits. Friends, we love benefits. We ought to love the benefits of wisdom and what we can gain out of it. Notice, start at verse number 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in all thy getting get an understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head, notice this, an ornament of grace and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Just a few things I want us to take notice of. How can this proverb help me? How can these proverbs give me great tips in my life? Number one, we need to get wisdom and get understanding. Number two, let us not forget it nor turn away from it. Number three, let us not forsake it. Let us allow it to preserve us. Let's love wisdom. Let's make wisdom the beginning thing, principal thing, the first thing. Exalt her. We live around people that exalt their own wisdom, Brother Williamson. Is that right? I mean, this is what I think is right. Have you ever heard this? Well, children don't come with a manual. Here it is, right here. And friends, I'm talking about every issue you may have. It's in this book. I think about the intricacies of a leaf and how every tree has its own DNA. Every single one. If God was so meticulous as in the leaf, would he not give us instruction for children? If God was so instructional in the amoeba, would he not give us instruction for the marriage? If God was so instructional in the cell, would he not give us instruction on how to take the gospel out? The answer is yes. Friends, we can go to the Word of God, but here is the issue. I told the class this morning, here is my problem. It's in verse 6. The Bible says, in verse number 5, I'm sorry, do not forget nor turn away from the word of my mouth. Sometimes because of distractions in Mike Bonner's life, I forget certain wisdom. And pain has to be associated when I forget it. I hate that. Unnecessary pain is not good. Amen, friends. It's not good. No wonder God gives a little patting on the back end of that child. Not on the back, not on the face, not on the neck, on the back end. To associate forgetting with pain. Oh, Brother Bonner, that ain't right. Yeah, it is. Because you know what hell is? It's pain. It's separation from God. Because sometimes we forget. I got Bible for that. I got to move on. But Ezekiel 18, a righteous man, when he leaves his righteousness and goes to lawlessness or foolishness or sin, it's bad for him. Pain. So there's wisdom. What skill do I need in this life? Friends, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 5 to walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. Especially among those who are without, Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Why? Because you just never know who you're around. Now, I want to make this one point, and we'll move on. Friends, let your words be few. Think about what you say before you say it. You just never know. You might save your life. The other day, I was driving, this guy, man, driving erratic, and I just said, Mike, just stay cool. I don't know who's behind the wheel of that other car. What if I said, man, what's wrong with you? Ta, 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 ta. Church of Christ preacher dies in car shooting at 5. That's what y'all going to hear. Now, think about this, friends. We have to be careful. See, our skill is not just taking the gospel out. Are you a member of the Lord's church? Have you been baptized? Are you worshiping correctly? If anything, we want to know how to live amongst those who are not living according to the skill of the Word of God. Friends, this is an evil world out there. We have to know how to live in it. Number 4, look at Proverbs 11. In Proverbs 11, put your seatbelts on. You might feel a little turbulence in the air. Verse 1 and 2. Have you ever heard of situational ethics? The situation determines the ethics. Friends, we live in a time, and I see it, and we have to be careful. The situation never determines the ethics. God's ethics is supposed to be applied in every situation. Yes or no? Yes. What do we mean by this? Notice, verse number 11. And this is part of that John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. God is about us being sanctified, being made whole, clearing us out, cleaning us up, making us holy. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Now look about, think about that. There was a saying, the way up is down. If you want to be great, learn how to serve. Before honor is humility. Here we see that God, he hates dishonest scales. I'm going to let you apply that. But friends, we have to be honest in every situation. Romans 12 and verse number 17. There the Bible teaches us. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Honesty. Our business dealings must be honest. As we're relating to one another, we ought to be honest. Lie not to one another. Ephesians 4. We ought to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. You remember, so help me God. God desires for us to be an honest people. Why? Because the world lies in wickedness. But why do we say that? Because we have those, even amongst us sometimes, I'm not talking about here, but just in the church, Isaiah 5 and verse 20, woe to him that call evil good and good evil. There's a mixing of definitions now. People are changing definitions. And friends, if the definition doesn't come from Jehovah and it is a spiritual teaching, a religious teaching, we must shy away from that. We must stay with what God's word has to say. And if we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to be inundated, to be smothered, to be molded into what the world says. Well, the world that we live in, of course, is an evil world, 1 John 5:19. But remember, we're the salt of this earth. We're the light of the world. We're that city that is set up on a hill. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 6 and 7. I hope y'all got a little time. I don't have nowhere to go. I was chastised the last time. I said, man, you know, I need to hurry up and get you out of there. I was chastised for that. I'm not getting chastised no more. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6 and verse number 7. Friends, these are powerful passages. God loves humility. This is something that we all have to work on, every last one of us. Let's start at verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elders or your elders. I'm talking about the older men here. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Take that back, elders in the church. The context is the elders in the church, verses 1 through 4. Look at verse number 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Notice the language here. In order that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, he cares for you. Now think about this. God loves humility. As a matter of fact, Jesus, as he takes on flesh, takes on humility, he humbles himself even to the point of death, even death on the cross, Philippians 2 verses 5 and following. He loves humility. He loves when an individual takes their mind and they go low, 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 low. Not the attitude, well, do you know who I am? Truth be told, all of us are just hunk of clays with clothes on. This week, I have been very interested in the decomposition of the body after death. Been watching videos left and right on how long it takes. And the reason why, because there's a false doctrine going out called soul sleeping. It's a false doctrine. And as the body dies, the soul remains in the actual bones, if you will. Do you know, after a period of about 50 years, that the bones actually turn straight to dust? That's interesting. After 2 years, all the flesh is gone. After 50 years, depending on the embalming process and the things that goes on, all of the bones turn to dust. Well, if soul sleeping is true, I guess the soul is just floating around in the casket. You see, that's absurd. It's absurd. That's the only point I want to make. How absurd. That's absurd. But here's the point. God desires for us to be so humble that when he says something, that settles it. That settles it. Whether it's how I treat my spouse, or how I rear up my children, or how I treat the brethren, or how I take the gospel to the world. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Look at Proverbs 15. I'm almost done. I got two more points after this. In Proverbs 15, verse 28. Notice, look at verse 28. Talking about the heart of the righteous. And from here, we're going to go to verse 18. We're going to go backwards. The heart of the righteous, notice this, studies. The Hebrew word here literally means to muse, to meditate, to think, to mutter. Now think about this, friends. Tips for living. There's two situations that I want to bring out. Number one, in Luke chapter 12, there was a man that was talking to himself, and he was rich, and he says, I'm going to tear down these barns and build greater barns. But before he said that, he said, soul, take ease. That's what he said. He was talking to himself. Sounds foolish. But then you got another situation in Luke chapter 15 with the prodigal son. He actually took his substance and he spent it on riotous living. He found himself in a pig's pen, if you will. And the Bible teaches us that he began talking to himself. He actually talked himself into going home to where his father was. Now, notice, we can either talk ourselves into doing that which is wrong, or we can talk ourselves into doing that which is right. Now, notice that in Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous muses, studies, meditates, imagines, mutters how to answer, how to respond. There are many times my wife is not here, so I can say this. If y'all tell her, I'll deny it. There are many times that woman says something about, like, boy, don't you say nothing. I'm pretty sure she does the same thing. Like, this dude is crazy. That's probably what she's thinking. You know, the righteous mutters. What are you thinking about? I'm not finished thinking it through yet. I better not say nothing. You know, that's wisdom. Oh, how many souls we could win if we would just choose our words wisely. And possibly even win the souls in our own home. One preacher said one time, why go to El Salvador if you haven't went next door? And I ain't talking about next door outside, next door in your own home. We need to take the gospel next door. The good news next door. We need to know how to answer. But notice the end of that passage. But the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. But notice verse 18 as we work backwards. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Sounds like James 1, verse number 19, right? Watch your anger, friends. Ephesians 4. Look at Psalm 37. Look at verse 8. In Psalm 37, verse 8, I was captivated by Psalm 37 this week. Don't have time to look into all of it. We'll probably study it one time before the year's up. But look at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Friends, that's doctrinal. That's just as doctrinal as one being baptized. Why? Because anger can actually separate me from God. It can separate me from the chiefest friends. Look at Proverbs 16 and verse number 3. In Proverbs 16, verse number 3. Now, this is challenging right here. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Now, notice, commit your works, your deeds. Now you think about this as it relates to Solomon. He asked God for wisdom that he may be able to guide the people of God, that he may be able to discern good from bad, good from evil. Friends, this is a powerful, powerful passage. Commit your works. Commit your deeds. Commit your actions. Commit everything about you, your business, your achievements, your spirituality. Commit it to the Lord, and your thoughts, your intentions, your mindset, your imaginations, your purposes, your skill will be established, firm. We have many today who are living on shaky ground. And here's Solomon, as he's giving tips for living, here, this is how you can establish yourself. Make yourself firm. Firm. He told, you ever seen a slab laid, seen concrete laid before? You construction man. He's seen slabs laid. You know, when the slab is not laid right, you can have problems when you begin building on top of it. Guess what? When we commit ourselves to the Lord, our slab can be strong and we can start building on top of it. That's the last thing you want is to buy a house and the foundation has a crack in it, or the slab is not level. And one thing about God is when you build upon Him, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the foundation. No other name. He's the one we build on top of. We build our children on top of Him. We build our wives, our marriages on top of Him. We build everything that we have on top of the Lord. Why is this a powerful passage? Because when we commit our works to the Lord, our thoughts, you see how that works together? Our works and our thoughts work together. Let me end with this one. Go to Proverbs 20. In Proverbs 20, allow God to examine you. I wanted to leave this one for last. Allow God to examine you. The reason why this one's challenging, because you have to invite Him to do that. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So are the hearts of men. Now think about that. God already knows what we're thinking. He knows who we are. Praise God. Thank God that we're saved by His mercy. Titus 3 verse 4. Thank God we're saved by grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8. And both of those require instruction. Both of them require teaching. But notice what Solomon says here in Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Don't run past this passage. It's not a passage you're going to hear all the time. The spirit of man, the soul of man. He's not talking about the life-giving factor, James 2:26. He's not talking about that which God gave in the beginning, Genesis 2:7. That's going to go back to God, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 7. He's not talking about that one. He's talking about soul, the mind, the will, the intellect, the being. The spirit of the man, here it is the burning of the Lord. Your version may say lamp. The King James Version uses the word candle. It's the soul of man that God uses to ignite him, to cause him to burn. How? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God causes us to burn with His word. Is not my word like a fire? You think about God's word, and the design of it is to purify us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to motivate us, to help us, to encourage us, to lead us back home to God. Now think about this. Searching all the inner depths of His heart. Now, let's not run past that. Look at Psalm 139. And from Psalm 139, we're going to go to Psalm 119. In Psalm 139, notice what your Bible says in verse 23 and 24. The reason why I say this is challenging, because remember Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful, and the ability of the word of God. But Psalm 139 here, the psalmist David says this, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now, friends, if that's not challenging, I don't know what is. To ask God to try me, to search me, to look into my heart, to see if I'm the person that I need to be. Here, Proverbs, Solomon gives life tips that we may be able to be the people that he has desired for us to be. Now, go from here to Psalm 119 and look at verse number 130. Psalm 119, 130. Notice this particular passage. The entrance of your word, or thy word, giveth light. Literally, it unfolds. The word of God unfolds. As we take it in, it unfolds. Now notice, it giveth understanding to the simple. How can I know what's in my heart? God's word is a light. What if I have wickedness in my heart as a Christian? What do I do about that? Number one, I clean it up. I get it out. I meditate on things that are holy and right and good. So when I stop and I consider, what does God want out of me? As a Christian, He desires for me to be holy. And really, we could study for months on end just in the book of Proverbs. And we can look at some things that Solomon had in his mind. Now, keep in mind as we close, remember the Queen of Sheba came asking him hard questions. Could it be some of them hard questions are in the book of Proverbs? It's possible. But friends, we have hard questions too. But sometimes we don't have enough courage to ask those questions, maybe to another person. Ask them to the Lord and go to His book and find the answer. He'll never lie to you. He'll never give you the wrong interpretation. He'll never lead you down a path you don't need to go. I said all of that to say this. Read the book of Proverbs. Listen to it. We have these apps on our phone. Just let it play. You can't go wrong listening to Proverbs and James as often as you can. Just keep listening to it and allow it to filter your mind as you think about what's being said. And you're going to come across great gems, great nuggets of truth that's going to help you. It's going to give you tips on how to live this life, how to rear children, how to conduct yourself among the family, the brethren, the world, even yourself. We're going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to offer the invitation. Great God and Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for the wisdom you gave Solomon. We're thankful that he even asked for wisdom. Help us to be like Solomon and ask for wisdom. We're thankful for your book, the Bible, the Word of God, which is able to guide us and strengthen us. Father, when we are weak, help us to go to your word. When we're haughty, help us to go to your word and please bring us down. When we're doing things we have no business doing, pray to Father that your word will be a buckler unto us, that it will check us, cause us to look at our own lives. Father, when we're living faithful, help us to always keep in mind that you're encouraging us to stay on the right path. Be with the families here. Be with our loved ones. Help us to strive to be righteous.
And when we find ourselves not doing that which is right, help us not to get discouraged. Help us to just get it right like Simon the sorcerer did. Be with the elders here. Bless their lives. Give them wisdom that they may lead us and guide us and strengthen us. Be with all of the preachers here, all of the members, be with all of the deacons, and help us to be a people that are a beacon of light in this great city, this great town. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider. We want you to consider following a man that humbled himself and came down to this earth filled with mindsets that could care less about him. The Bible teaches us in Romans 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. We didn't like him. We didn't like righteousness. Yet God sent him anyway. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the one that God sent. He's the apostle. He's the high priest. The intercessor. He's the savior of mankind. That's who he is. Be willing to repent of your sins. Turn away from sin. Look at how you look at sin now in view of not committing those sins any longer, in view of Jesus Christ. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. It's necessary. And the reason why it's necessary, because that's where God operates upon you. Colossians 2, 12 and 13. That's where the forgiveness of sins takes place. You are raised to walk in the newness of life. Romans 6, 3 and 4. First, when we consider that, this is where God adds you to his son's church. Acts 2 and verse 47. You're baptized into the church. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. You have your conscience cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews 9, 14. Friends, it's all in this book. We're not smart enough to make that type of information up. Be faithful. Be steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been steadfast. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're exposing yourself to the will of God. If you know of a Christian that's weak, that's not faithful, invite them to service and say, at least come and expose yourself to the word and to the will of God. And just perhaps something will change in your mind that you'll walk forward and say, you know what, I've been sinning and I'm sorry and I'm ready to do what is right. Because one thing we know, it's hard to change if you're not surrounded by righteousness. Evil communication corrupts good morals. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation. Jesus, I come. Jesus.